Hey everyone. Today we're going to talk about problem solving. This is what we do when our emotions do fit the facts. When our emotions are bubbling up to the surface, there are three major purposes for that: to motivate and organize for action, to communicate to others, and to communicate to ourselves. Remember, with this module, we have learned that there are five possible responses to any problem. Solve it, change your emotional reaction, radically accept the situation, stay miserable, or make things worse, which is what many of us tend to do, sometimes without even realizing it. We have learned that there are skills to help us with these situations. We have check the facts, opposite action, and problem solving. Problem solving is when an emotion is justified, as I mentioned in the beginning, and it fits the facts. When an emotion is justified by a situation, and it is an unwanted emotion, avoiding, modifying, or changing the situation or event may be the best way to change your emotion. Problem solving is the first step in changing difficult situations and is a basic skill that everyone can use to build a life worth living. Why do we use this skill? Because solving problem situations can change difficult emotions. Focus on solving situations that bring up unwanted emotions, especially when the emotion that you want to change is justified by or fits the situation. Problem solving is important when acting on an emotion is not likely to be ineffective. Problem solving is a coping strategy that increases the probability that you will be effective in a tough situation. It also requires a conscious and focused effort to develop new solutions to the problems you face every day. Some of the types of problem situations that call for problem solving include situations or people that bring up painful or destructive emotions. Even if we do not immediately see what could be done to change a situation or to deal differently with a person. The pictures we show in group include a cemetery and a cartoon rodent with a broken heart. Often, emotions about death are justified. Keep that in mind. Another type of situation. Sometimes, there are situations or people that are avoided over and over because they cause painful emotions. Think about having to pay bills or deal with bill collectors trying to get money. Maybe going to family gatherings is triggering. The term pain plus avoidance equals suffering comes to mind. If we can solve the problem, let's solve it. What about one-time situations like getting a fever and having to figure out the best way to deal with it? Let's solve the problem. Repeated problem situations call for problem solving to break the cycle. Say you have a problem with punctuality, and it's going to jeopardize your employment. It would be really important to sit down and figure out how to solve that problem. Finding out the trigger for the cycle is a key factor in breaking the cycle. Repeated failures to keep from engaging in destructive or ineffective behavior call for problem solving, like addiction, for example. Chronic or ongoing problem situations that create continual misery in life may call for problem solving most strongly of all. The photos on the slideshow in group show a toilet paper roll with X's for eyes with a text bubble that reads, "I hate my job." Then we have Schroeder from Peanuts, bent over the tiny piano he plays, and his chat bubble reads, "Why does my back hurt so much?" Finally, we see what looks like a relationship with a lot of tension and maybe even abuse. There is a couple that appears to be fighting, where one of the partners is out of focus in the background, and on his face is an expression I interpret as anger. And the girl is in focus, and she appears to be crying. Her brow is furrowed, one of her hands is holding the side of her face, and she has her mouth open, and her eyes appear to be closed or at the very least, downcast. That would be a situation that definitely requires some problem solving. We must learn to let go of judgments about problems. Because they are specific to people and situations, situations that are a problem for one person may not be a problem for another. The very same painful emotion two people experience can be caused by very different situations. Also, it's wise to understand that problems are specific to time and circumstances. The same situation may be a problem at one time, but not at another time, depending on changing circumstances within the same person. Let's get to the steps of problem solving. Step one has three parts. It's involving using mindfulness. Step one is to observe and describe the problem situation. Part 1A is to use the mindfulness what skill. Just the facts of the situation only. You can use a mindfulness handout number 4 if you need some guidance. Part 2A, describe what is problematic about the situation. Include the consequences of the situation that make it a problem for you. And part 3A, describe the obstacles to solving the problem. Step 2 is check the facts. Ask yourself if your facts are correct. Excuse me. Use emotion regulation handouts number 8 and number 8A to help you with this step if you need it. These handouts are available in the workbook. Fairly certain that it needs to be purchased in order to have full access to them, and they are very helpful. So back to the facts. As if you're responding to your interpretations, ask if you are responding to your interpretations of the situation, not the situations themselves. Ask yourself, how distressing is the situation? It's super easy to catastrophize a situation and make it into a much bigger problem than it really is. Radical acceptance and other distress tolerance skills can help us reduce emotion, stop catastrophizing, and see the problem situation more clearly. Do the conflicts or other obstacles I've described reflect the facts of the situation? When our pain or distress is intense, it's easy to see many more obstacles than are really there. Interpersonal situations that feel like conflicts in one moment may feel like minor disagreements in another moment. Does that make sense? Step 3 is to identify your goal in solving the problem. If you don't know what your goal is, you cannot fix the problem or find an effective solution. Keep your goal simple and something that you really can achieve. The ultimate goal is to reduce the painful emotions. So what has to happen to make you feel better? Let's do an example. One of my first social work assignments in school was to solve one of my problems I was having. I was struggling financially, of course, on my own, as a single lady trying to make her way. I was trying to decide what to do about ways to cut costs in my life. The problem situation as described by facts, I lived in an expensive apartment and I was not able to meet all my bills. My first goal was trying to stay in the apartment by cutting other costs. Next goal was to sell my car and get a really cheap one. And the third goal was to move into a cheaper place with my complex. And the fourth was to move to a cheaper place altogether. Step 4 is brainstorm lots of solutions. I brainstormed tons of ways I could reach these goals. I came up with as many ideas as I could to try to solve the problem. Even wacky ideas came to my mind. I thought of getting extra jobs, cutting out Wi-Fi, getting a roommate, though I despised that idea from the start, hence I never had one, starting a home business of some kind where I was not investing too much, maybe like a cleaning service, and so on. Step 5, choose a solution that fits the goal you have chosen to work on. I chose to move to a new place altogether and selling my car because nothing else was going to be effective for what needed to happen. You'll then want to prioritize the suggested solutions in order of likelihood to actually work and the reality of doing the solution, putting it into action, basically. A solution that might work is useless if it is impossible to put into action. Choose one or two of the best solutions, then evaluate them using your wise mind, and do a formal pros and cons exercise on each solution. I suggest drawing a box, then dividing it into fourths. The top two boxes will contain the pros for each solution, and the bottom two boxes will contain the cons of each solution. Then we go to step six. Put the solution you choose into action. This is the reason you problem solve: to identify an effective solution and to put it into action. Some problems that stop you from putting the solution into action could be related to inertia or energy. Thoughts like, "This is too hard," "I'm too tired," "I do not have time," are generated and immobilize us. Fear-driven thoughts like, "If this doesn't work, I'll look so stupid," "This won't work and I will be a failure," "People will get mad at me." Those kind of thoughts stop us from solving problems. What about plain old willfulness? "If I use this solution, I'll look weak." Or, my personal favorite, "They caused the problem, they can solve it." And then it doesn't get solved. You know why? Because blame and judgment aren't helpful, and solving problems is. Impulsiveness gets in the way of solving problems too. Like running straight into the problem with an impulsive, ineffective solution rather than using the solution initially identified as effective is rather problematic. Last step in solving problems is to evaluate the results of implementing the solution. Ask yourself, am I satisfied with the results of my problem solving? Do I feel better about my situation than before? Were there any negative outcomes for myself or others? I had decided to move to another apartment altogether because the pros and cons of that choice ultimately fit my situation the best, and I was able to execute that above all the rest. And I was happy with the choice. I was able to continue having the transportation as needed and save money by getting into a cheaper place. I didn't like the area at first when I moved, but it grew on me. And I stayed there until I ended up back in Utah, not so single anymore. It worked out. Just remember that the best laid plans can go awry. Even when a solution is carried out exactly as planned, it can fail because unanticipated obstacles can arise or others can respond in unexpected ways. Once you realize you have to evaluate your problem solving, you may be more open to the idea that effective problem solving can take multiple efforts with different solutions before you find one solution or set of solutions that actually solves the problem. Often, if a first effort doesn't solve the problem all the way, it will at least improve the situation somewhat, allowing other solutions to reduce all or most of the factors that made the situation distressing in the first place. So here are the solutions for justified emotion. Number one, act on the emotion. A major function of emotion is to motivate for action. Often the action urge associated with the emotion is the action that is the solution. If a dangerous person is chasing you for real, you would probably want to run to safety. If you love someone, spend time with them. Number two, change the situation. Sometimes acting on your emotion urge only gives you a temporary relief when permanent relief is desired. In this situation, you can use your problem-solving skills to change or solve the situation. Number three, avoid or leave the situation. Sometimes you can't change the situation because other people are too powerful and you may need to avoid the situation altogether. And no amount of interpersonal effectiveness seems to help change people's thoughts, behaviors, and actions. Time to avoid that situation. Number four, change thoughts and interpretations of the situation. Sometimes you really can't change the problem situation, and you can't avoid it either. Sounds like the holidays for some folks, yeah? Try changing how you're thinking about the situation. Maybe cheerlead yourself. I can do this. I'm going to be skillful around everyone in situations where you choose to act opposite to your fear. Solutions for each emotion can be found on emotion regulation handout number 12. I'll give a few examples. For jealousy, work to be more desirable to the person you're afraid of losing, only when you absolutely want to keep the person from leaving you. Sadness. Do not avoid grief. It is a necessary process and helps come to terms with loss. If you avoid sadness, you may end up with long-lasting grief that makes things worse, not better. There is a large overlap between acting opposite to sadness and problem-solving sadness. Once grief has subsided, acting opposite to sadness actually reduces it. And how about fear? Do things that give you a sense of control and mastery. The handouts that go with this session include Emotion Regulation Worksheet 5 and 8. The handouts to review and study are Emotion Regulation Handout 12 and 13. Review the Mindfulness Handout number 4 for a refresher of the what skill. That's all for today, everyone. Next time we will discuss opposite action versus problem solving. Try to solve some problems this week. See what you can come up with. Imagine yourself being skillful. It helps the brain remember to use skills. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach me at uofudbt@gmail.com. I am going to make the commitment to be more on top of this project. I'm hopeful that people are hanging in there with me as I navigate this life worth living every single day, even if there's pain. I don't think I could have said that 15 years ago when I was doing DBT for the first time. I struggled a lot more than I even remember, so for that I am grateful. Grateful for you all, and most assuredly for DBT skills. Have an effective week. I'll be back on MLK Day with a fresh new episode, and an eternal thanks for being here.